22. And we talked about what does that mean to walk worthy. And we looked at the examples that Paul gave to the church there at Ephesus, how to walk worthy of vocation. Then we talked about how there's a spiritual battle going on and we have to do all we can do to stand and we got to put on the whole armor of God. And then the secret weapon was prayer and we need to pray and we need to pray for one another. Now we started last week in the book of Philippians. What I just gave you in Ephesians took us almost all the way up from the beginning to 2 weeks ago, but you just got it all in 2 seconds there. Now we're in Philippians. We started last week in Philippians. We talked about memories. We even gave the illustration for those who are here about the person that him and his wife had to write everything down and so they could remember. And then he asked his wife to get him something, and she says, oh, I don't need to write down or remember. Brought back something totally different, and he didn't remember what he told her, but he remembered he wanted something else in addition to that, and how our memories work in our lives. And Paul was thankful for those individuals, those serving. He was thankful for the salvation that they had. He was thanking for those that prayed for him and brought that to him. Now, as we conclude with this thought, we're going to continue this thought of memories, but we're going to look at things in common this morning. Things in common. Now, a lot of times in our lives, we have some things in common with people, and we have some things not in common with people. Now, let me give you some illustrations of this simple truth, the things in common and things not in common. Now, I'm going to pick one individual out of here that I'm going to compare myself to, and I'm going to give some of the things we have in common and some of the things we don't have in common. All right? Brother Rex, will you please stand? Hurry. You got to stand. Now, one thing we don't have in common, Brother Rex has hair. I don't have hair, all right? All right? Another thing we don't have in common, and Kate said I could say this, Brother Rex needs to watch a little bit what he eats. Now, those that don't know this, I'm not saying he's overweight, but Brother Rex does not eat healthy. All right? Brother Rex, I've gone to lunch with Brother Rex, and he makes fun of what I eat. I eat nice, good food. Brother Rex eats all his food and then takes my food and eats it, all right? So that's some things we don't have in common. We love you, Brother Rex. But some things we have in common, we're both guys. Brother Rex and I have some other things in common. We're both very intelligent individuals. Or maybe, well, I shouldn't say that, right? But there's some things we have in common, some things we don't have in common. You can have a seat, Brother Rex. I embarrassed you enough. I was going to say that. But there's some things we have in common, some things we don't have in common. How many of you have something in common with someone in this room? We all do. How many of you have some things you don't have in common with some people in this room? How many of you agree with some people on some of the things they do, and you disagree with some of the people and some things they do? Wow, isn't that amazing? Because we have things in common, we have things in discommon. We handle things. How many handle things exactly the same way that everyone in this room handles it? Is there anyone? Now, how many handle things similar to some people? How many handle things differently than other people? There's a vast difference there. But as Paul is coming together, as Paul's talking to this church at Philippi, remember what is interesting with the book of Philippi, this letter to the church here. What is interesting is he doesn't come down hard on them. He lifts them up. The other books, he hit some issues. He hit some things. There's only one little issue that Paul addresses in the book of Philippians. It has to do with some ladies. And we're going to get to that later. But most of the time, it is an uplifting book. And it's majoring on the greatness of this church at Philippi. And encouraging them to keep going in the direction that they're going. Do you know sometimes in our lives, we need that little boost to keep on going. And we need that excitement. Now, we need times our toes step on. Now, what's interesting, as we look at this, even though it's uplifting, it's still going to step on our toes a little bit. Because we're going to see some things that Paul was addressing this church and what they were doing and the positive of what they're doing. But we need to make sure we're doing it in our lives as well. If you're able to, please stand with me. Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meant for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds, in my defense, and my confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and all judgment, that he may prove all prove things that are excellent, that he may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. And Lord, I pray you help us as we look at this portion of scripture, that we would just glean the truths you want us to glean. I pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as we look at this, I want you to look at verse number 7 for a moment, and then we're going to come back up. Verse 7 says, even as it is meant for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Paul is writing to them, and Paul is expressing love for them because they hold a special place in Paul's life. What makes these people special to Paul? What makes you special to one another? Now, we're going to look at things they had in common. We're going to look at what he's addressing and what he has in common with them. But he says, my heart has a place for you. I have a place for you because we have some things in common. I have a place for you for what you've done for me. I have a love for you. You hold a special place for me in my life. Now let me ask you, as we look at our lives, how have we influenced others? Has my life been a help or a hindrance to others? Have I been a blessing or a curse to others? Would someone say, you have a special place in my life because of your love? I have a love for you because of what you've done for me. Now let's look at some thoughts that are given here. We'll pick back up in verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. Not only does Paul praise God for them, he also prays for them. You know what they had in common? They prayed for Paul, and Paul prayed for them. I want us to understand this thought. It was the joy of Paul to pray for this church at Philippi. It was a joy. They had something in common. They prayed for one another. But this is out of his heart. He wanted to thank them for their prayers, but also know, because you have a special place in my life, I pray for you. I want us to understand a truth this morning. You know what's going to bring this church closer together? Is when we have some things in common. And one of the things that we need to have in common is prayer. And we ought to count a joy to pray for one another. Now I want us to understand this thought. They prayed for Paul. Paul prayed for them. Paul prayed for their needs and what they were going through in their lives. He had a heart for this church. Do you know what a sad truth this morning? There are many churches like this that have individuals in the church that they do not pray for one another. Now, I want you to understand something. I might not agree with everything everyone in this room does. I might have difference of opinions as we've given of the things in common, not in common. But that doesn't matter. You know what I need to be doing for everybody in this room? I need to be lifting them up on prayer on a regular basis. I need to be praying for them. What happens when you pray for someone? It changes your heart towards them. You know what brought this church of Philippi together? You know what brought these individuals together? You know what bonded the heart and brought the heart of Paul with this church together? Is they prayed for one another. And it got them to look past the differences that they had and the difference of their thoughts and their opinions. And it brought them together with a common bond. And we're going to see that later on. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it brought them together. They looked past everything else. And they prayed for one another. You know what they also did? They prayed for Paul. And I tell you, and I'm saying this with all sincerity, you need to pray for your pastor. I know I'm pretty good looking. But guess what? I have my problems too, just like you. I have my struggles just like you. I have some things that I need to work on and deal with. And guess what? I'm not perfect. Did you know that? Lying lips are an abomination unto the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Just gave you a little scripture there, brother. But we need to pray. We need to pray for pastors, evangelists, missionaries. We need to lift them up in prayer. We need to pray. But let us understand, we need to pray for other believers as well. But let me give it a little more specific. We need to pray directly for those that are part of this church. I'm telling you, we need to pray for others. Don't get me wrong. We need to lift other Christians up. Yes, we need to pray for them. But we need to come together as a church and pray for those that make up this New Testament local called out assembly. We need to pray. We need to pray for one another, not just when they get sick. Not just when they're going through a hard time in their life. Oh yeah, we need to pray for those. Don't get me wrong. But we need to pray daily for one another. We need to pray daily that one another would have the strength to keep on living for God. We need to pray daily for one another that they'll be able to continue to be faithful and that we'll be the help and blessing to get behind them and lift them up. We need to pray. You see, as we look at the scenes in common, they had this common thought of praying together, the burden of prayer. This ought to be the attitude of our hearts daily. Is praying. I don't want you to answer, but I want you to think about this. This last week, how much time did you spend praying for somebody in this church? I want us to think about it. Because what we do is we focus on all our problems. All our issues. And we take time in prayer and we pray for ourselves and we pray for this. But we're not praying for one another. We need to pray that God puts a hedge around this church. We need to pray that God give us a burden for souls. We need to pray that we strive and live for God. And not just a church on a whole, but for each individual that makes up this church. We need to pray. But I want you to look at verse 5. There's a burden of prayer that they have in common, but there's the burden of partnership that they have in common. Look at verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul is thankful that these people have joined with him to carry out the gospel ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. From the beginning to now, I thank God for the burden you have for the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what Paul's heart was? They had a special place in Paul's heart because they love the gospel ministry. They love the gospel, and they took the gospel and they presented the gospel from the beginning of the conception of this church of Philippi till until now when this was written. The church of Philippi had a love for the gospel. They had a special place because that was Paul's heart. You know what Paul's heart was? It wasn't that he was going to be a great missionary and have a great name. Paul's goal was not to be recognized and to be noted and to have numbers attached to his name. Do you know what Paul's goal and purpose was? His love was the gospel. And why do you have such a love for the gospel? We looked at this last week a little bit. We went back to Acts, remember, and we saw the conversion that Paul had. As we look at their common salvation, we looked at the conversion that Paul had. Paul had a love for his conversion, what the gospel did in his life. And because of that, he had a burden for the gospel to be taken out. And that brought them together. We need to have a burden for the gospel, taking the gospel to a lost and dying world. Do you know what we need to have in common? First, we need to have our salvation, as we looked at last week. But secondly, we need to have a burden for this world. Now, Paul thanked them for their burden. But let's be honest. Many times in our lives, we do not have the burden we need to have for this lost world. And we think just because we show up when we have canvassing, or we show up for this special revival meetings, or this thing, that's having a burden for souls. No. A burden for souls. A burden for the gospel. A burden that's joined together is those that eat, drink, and sleep the gospel. What does it mean? That is on your mind constantly, day in and day out. You are looking. You are looking. I am looking for every opportunity that we have in a 24-hour day that God has given us breath to live, to be able to share the gospel with someone. We take every opportunity we have. We don't know. We pray and ask God, God, give me someone to share the gospel with today. That's having a burden for the gospel. That's having a burden for souls. Not that I can push my agenda this morning. Not that I can push my agenda for today. But God, give me an opportunity this morning to be able to preach and teach and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. This partnership to come together for the gospel ministry. We are to come together as a church and as individuals and have a sole purpose of sharing the gospel. We're to be a lighthouse in this community. We're to shine bright. And what are we to shine bright? The gospel of Jesus Christ. When people see the lighthouse, what do they need to see? They need to see Jesus. They need to see the gospel. And I tell you, it's hard, and I'll admit it, even in my life, there's times that I've not had the burden for souls that I ought to have in my life. Because we get clouded by so many other things in our lives, the busyness of our schedules. We don't want to spend time any longer in the Walmart checkout line because it takes forever now because they only have two lanes open because they have 50 self-checkouts and only two lanes open. And you don't want to take three baskets of groceries through the self-checkout, so you wait in this line for 3 hours to check out your groceries. And by the time we get there, you don't want to even talk to that person. You just want them to hurry up, and you're even going to take the items and throw it through the scanner too so you can make them go faster, right? But you know what? We need to have a burden for souls. We need to have a burden. They partnership together with a common thought and burden for the gospel. That's what brought them together. That's what they were striving to work together, was the gospel. Now, I want to be kind what I'm going to say. Do you know their partnership was not in building a nice building? Their partnership was not brought about by having nice things in the church. Their partnership was not about just fellowshipping together and having a good old time. Their fellowship together, their burden together, their partnership together was the gospel. They kept the main thing the main thing. Do you know the gospel is the main thing? And that's what we need to keep together is the gospel. That's what brings together. So they have the burden of prayer, the burden of partnership. But look at verse number 8. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. There was a burden of being together. A burden to being together. He longed to be with them once again. He longed to serve with them. He longed to be able to be out of the prison and be with them. That was his desire. Paul desired. Paul thanked them for their prayers. Paul thanked them for their partnership. He was glad of their partnership of the gospel. But Paul had a desire to be with them. Now he's going to go on and talk a little more about this. But what is this desire? Paul had this desire to be with them. Do you know we need to have a desire to be with one another? Now, many times we like to be with those that agree with us 100%, right? How many of you like to be around someone that tells you you're wrong? Anyone like that? Many times we want to be around those that are going to tell us we're right all the time, even when we're wrong, right, Rich? That's why Rich married Lori, because Lori tells him all the time, even when he's wrong, how right he is. She's a great wife. Right, Rich? All right. But many times we want to be around those that are going to tell us. But Paul wanted to be with this church, even though they weren't a perfect church, even though they didn't have all the same personalities, they didn't have everything together, but they had the common salvation, they had the common gospel, they were praying together, lifting one another in prayer, and Paul had a desire to be with them. Do you know we need to have a desire to be with one another? We should want to be with those in this building. We should want to break bread with those in this building. We should want to fellowship with one another. We should want to be able to spend time with them. We should want to do that. And Paul says, I have a desire. I wish I wasn't where I was at because I want to be back with you and I want to spend time with you so we can do the ministry together. We should want to do the ministry together in this church. It shouldn't just be one person doing the ministry, two people doing the ministry. It should be the whole group that makes up this congregation doing the ministry together, want to minister together. Want to serve. Want to hold hands together and say, hey, we're going to do the task that God has called us to do in Napa, Idaho. We're going to do this. We're going to come together. But I also want you to see another thought. Look with me in verse number 9. Actually, drop down. Go back to verse 6. Do want to hit this. Being confident is everything that he which hath begun a good work in you perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. They also had a common blessing. God wasn't done with them. God was going to keep working on them. God was going to, the one that saved them is still there. He's not going to leave them. He's going to help them. He's going to give them what they need. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. I'm so glad God's not done with me. And Paul realized that God wasn't done with him. And Paul realized God wasn't done with those that made up the church of Philippi. God was still working on them to the day he comes. God is still working on us. And I tell you, that was Paul's love he had for them is, hey, we have something in common. God is still working on us. Do you know God's still working on you? And God's still working on the person sitting next to you too. Do you know that everyone in this room, God's not done with? Because if he was done with you, you wouldn't be here. And do you know everyone in this room has some faults? Everyone in this room, Rick, you have some problems. I'm talking about myself, not you. We all, but God's still working on us. He's still working on us to make us what he wants us to be. To the day he takes us home, to the day of glory, to that time, he's still working on us. What does that mean? He's still molding you. He's still making you. He's still allowing trials. He's still allowing things through our lives to mold us and to make us and to turn us in what he wants to be. He's not done with you. He's not giving up on you either. I'm so glad God hasn't given up on me. I'm glad God hasn't given up on Brother Rex. I'm glad God hasn't given up on some others. Why? Because he's still working on us. And even though we don't always do what we need to do and want to do, God is still working on us. Let God work in your heart. Let God work in your life. Now look at verse number 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgments. They shared a common compassion. They were to use their knowledge, their judgments, but they were to have compassion and love in it. And Paul says, we have something in common. We have love for one another. And we're to use it in knowledge and judgments. I mean, that love for one another is to help an individual. This church at Philippi, you are to have compassion for one another. You're to use the knowledge you've gained. You're to talk about the judgments that you know about. You're to talk about those things, but it's because of love one for another, because you want the best for the other individual. You want the best for those that make up this church. I want the best for you. You want the best for me. We need the best for one another. We need to have this common thought given here of this common love, this common compassion for sharing the truth. That's why the Bible tells us to speak the truth in love. Now, I want to spend the rest of the time really looking at this thought. Because I believe in many churches today, we truly lack love in knowledge and judgment. I believe many believers have become harsh in their Christianity. I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and judgment. I want your love to abound in the truth. I want you to have a love, a compassion. I believe we have become harsh in our Christianity today. We have become so judgmental, if you will, and so ready to cast the stones, and so ready to call out every individual that's ever done anything wrong and tell them how wicked and vile and terrible they are. And yes, they are. We all are. But we need to have compassion and love sharing the truth. You know what's happened? We have called out sin, which we need to call out sin, but we have no tact in doing so. Do you know tact is scriptural? That's what love is. Love is not sugarcoating sin. Love is having tact in dealing with sin. Let me give a fun illustration. This is a made-up fun illustration. Let me give this. Kate bought a brand new dress the other day. And she did the wonderful thing that ladies usually do. Puts it on and goes in front of Rex and says, "Honey, what do you think of this dress?" And Rex does the most common thing that men says, "It looks okay." Then she says this, "What do you mean it looks okay?" "Well, it looks good on you." "No, you said okay." "What does okay mean?" Well, Rex is going to be honest because Rex is a very honest person. Rex says, "Well, actually, I don't like the color. It doesn't look good on you. And this should be this way, and this should be that way." And he just attacks every aspect of this dress that Kate got. Kate runs away crying. She just spent $300 on this dress that Rex does not like, and she can't return it. Non-returnable. Now, let's revisit this. Kate bought this same $300 dress, put it on, asked Rex the question, "How does it look?" Rex goes, "Honey, it looks gorgeous on you." Now, let me ask you, what is going to cover more? What's going to handle things? Now, he says this, "Honey," because we're going to do love in what? Knowledge and truth. "Honey, it looks gorgeous on you. It may be better for certain things than other things, but I'm glad you got that. And let's see what we can do for other events or other things." What is that doing? It's dealing with it, but it's having love. Now, it's a silly illustration. It's a little stretch, I understand, but it gives us this idea. Let me ask you in your life, how much love and compassion do you have? I see someone that I don't like Brother Rick's shirt. Now, do I need to go up and say that is the most awful shirt I've ever seen in my life? Why would someone have a shirt with that, with that animal running through and the vines, and it looks like blobs that someone took paint and just threw on? I mean, why do you have to say that? Why do we have to go through and understand what the knowledge and truth is? Knowledge and truth is dealing with the scriptures, dealing with the things that matter. But what we do is we don't allow love abound, and we start nitpicking one another within the church, and we start causing problems within the church and among individuals, and we just say, "I'm speaking my mind." Wait, we need to have truth and love. We need to have tact. Do you know you don't always have to speak? You don't always have to speak. You don't always have to. Why? Because love needs to abound. Love needs to abound. And we need to have compassion. You and I do not know what someone else is facing, someone else is going through, and what encouragement that person needs in their life. "Oh, I got to deal with truth, preacher. I got to tell it how it is because that's what God tells me. I got to deal with this. That person's not doing right. That person's sinning. That person's a heathen. I tell you, I need to call them out on it." But you can do it in love. You can do it this way. "Hey, Brother Lewis, I want you to know I love you. And out of love, Brother Lewis, from my experiences, since I'm such an older man than you, I've learned a few things. Can I share those with you?" Let me tell you, how's that going to help? That's going to help more than if I go, "Brother Lewis, let me tell you, you're a wretched sinner, and I've seen some things in your life. You need to just get right with God." Now, let me ask you, what's going to help more? "Yeah, I should have been a Southern preacher, I know." What's going to help more? Now think about it. We got to have love. Now, let me illustrate this, Caleb. Now, those that know, I have a thing with hair, okay? It's not just because I don't have hair. Even as a child, I can show you pictures I had hair, all right? But every day, I have to trim around my ears. I trim back my, I don't like it touching me. Now, people like this, that have hair like this, I tell you, I used to keep a razor in my, no, just kidding. And just so I wouldn't feel as jealous, right? Now, I could tell Caleb, I tell you, I think you look like a hippie, boy. Now, or I could say, hey, let me share some things. Now, nothing's wrong with his hair. I'm just using it as illustration, fun illustration. Please don't think I'd need, tell him he needs a haircut. All right? I'm not saying that. But I want you to illustrate. There's a way to handle things. There is a way not to handle things. This is just fun illustrations, illustrating it. It is not saying he's a hippie, all right? It's saying this. We can handle things. We can handle truth. We can handle knowledge. We can handle judgment, but we can handle it with love. And that's what's going to bring the church together. What brings the church together is not sweeping something underneath the carpet, but it's dealing with it with love. It's not pretending it's not happening, but it's handling it with love. It's not excusing sin, but it's handling it with love. We need to have love for one another. It needs a bound. You know, love needs a bound in your life and in my life. Paul, out of love, was writing these words. Because they had a special place in his heart. And he says, I'm glad and I want your love to abound more and more and more and more. I want the love in this room to abound more and more and more and more. We need to have love for one another. You know what love does? It covers a multitude of sins, Scripture tells us. Do you know what love does? It brings you together. It unifies together. Do you know we don't always have to be argumentative in how we handle things? Now, I understand some of our personalities are a little more boisterous, a little more type A driven personalities, but even that, do you know we don't always have to be judgmental? We don't have to be argumentative in our speech, in a way we can phrase things that won't bring division, that will unify people together and not tear people apart and still accomplish the same thing. We need to allow love to abound. Paul's saying, I want you to see that we have some things in common. And I want you to understand that we have this in common. We need to pray that your love may abound more and more. And you know what we need to do? We need to pray, as we mentioned, but we need to pray that our love abounds more and more and more. And have love in our lives. Let me ask you, as you think about the things that Paul mentioned, there's some more we're going to get into next week. We see some things that Paul said they had in common in this church of Philippi. He went back to their salvation. He thanked them for their prayers and remembrance of them and praying for them. And he goes on and he talks about what they have in common here in this book of Philippians and how they had a common prayer and a common partnership and a common blessing. Let me ask you, do you have those things in common with one another? I want to ask you this. You know what we should have in common today as a church? Praying for one another. Let me ask you, are you praying for one another? Is that in common? Is that common among each of us? Let me ask you another thing that we have in common. The gospel of Jesus Christ. First, are you saved? Second, do you have a common burden for the gospel? Number three, do you have a common purpose in regards to having love abound blessing of allowing love to abound. Let that love abound in your life. Let love be that guiding factor in you. And let love abound in each of our lives. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your